My degenerate angels, I'm so excited. It's the happiest, most wonderful time of the year. And no, it's not Christmas, it's Halloween. My only religious holiday, the thing that keeps me going all year round, even when times are tough. Because I mean, like, what's not to like? It's the day, or I guess like week, that everyone is allowed to dress as outlandish or slutty or bizarre or berserk as they want without any sort of societal judgment. It's pure creativity and joy and expression and fantasy. I could go on. And the most important thing is that real life becomes irrelevant. And I just think that that's so cool that we get one day where all of us anal humans are just like, nothing matters. I personally have spent the last 6 years relishing in the fact that for once, during this very limited precious time, the fact that I naturally look like a drag queen is actually an asset. So I go one step further and completely transform myself into the tragic blonde that I internally identify as. So I'm talking like lace front wig, colored contacts, lightened foundation that also covers my eyebrows, handcrafted costumes, everything. Who have I done in past years? I've done Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears, JonBenet Ramsey, and even the Milkmaid statue from Clockwork Orange. Truly iconic, if I do say so myself, and you can go to my Instagram page to see the photographic evidence. And you know what? Beyond the costumes, I also love the fact that everybody becomes obsessed with all things spooky and demented, which makes me feel less alone in my obsession with the macabre. Like, people ask to see disturbing shit during this time. They put themselves in harm's way. And, you know, if you look past my glittery outfits and my loud laughter, I'm a goddess of darkness, y'all. Like, Monday is my favorite day of the week. I can only grocery shop between the hours of 8 and 10 p.m., and that's what relaxes me. You get the picture. I'm insane. So to say that I'm excited about this week and this week's episode is a total understatement. But real quick, let me do a little introduction for anyone new here who's like, who is this bitch? My name is Allie Weiss. I am a Z-list performer and writer in downtown New York City. I'm obsessed with all things branded weird or wrong or socially unacceptable by society. And this is my podcast, my baby, Tales of Taboo, which is a show that explores those things through anonymous confessions that are collected through castings on my Instagram stories. And by opening up conversations that we're repeatedly told not to have, but doing so behind the shield of anonymity, my hope is to normalize that gray area between right and wrong and normal, quote unquote, and weird, quote unquote, and learn more about what it actually means to be human when you eliminate the judgment. And now on the topic of humanity, this week we are talking about the extraterrestrial, the paranormal, the encounters with spirits and beings that defy most people's understanding of what is real. Obviously, this is an on-theme topic for Halloween because most of these encounters are in spooky circumstances. And they can also be quite campy, but I want to emphasize that I actually fully support and believe in every story you're going to hear today. I myself have never had a profound encounter with the paranormal, but I live my life with the understanding that there is so much we do not understand. Having boundaries and rules and a so-called definition of like fact and fiction makes people artificially feel less anxious about the fact that life is like short and long at the same time, and there's ultimately no meaning to it. Like life, I'm sorry, is meaningless. So it really drives me insane when people are quick to dismiss each other's experiences or viewpoints as not valid just because they don't agree with them, or because they haven't been validated by the like bajillionaire companies that publish expensive textbooks. Look, I have no answers. I can't tell you whether there's life outside Earth, or if something happens when we die, or if we simply rot in the ground. I'm clueless, so I'm neutral. But what I do know is that experiences with UFOs and ghosts and non-earthly energies are extremely taboo to talk about because of the lack of understanding. And so I wanted to give people who feel isolated in their experiences a place to feel a little more seen and heard. Plus, it's a hell of a lot of fun to hear these stories, is it not? So without further ado, this is Tales of Taboo.
So my story involves a ghost or several ghosts in a childhood home of mine that my parents purchased in the late 90s in a suburb just outside of Washington, D.C. And one of the most unsettling things, perhaps, in all of this has to be the fact that, you know, the house itself wasn't some creepy, you know, run-down, dilapidated Victorian, you know, home in the middle of the sticks. It was a sweet house in the middle of a suburb, but the suburbs themselves are kind of creepy themselves. So I guess there you have it. So, you know, it all started out with little things, and I was not the only one who experienced or saw and or felt these things. Everyone in my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, they all saw and heard things and felt things, and our family dog had a pretty strong reaction to certain parts of the house as well. So it all started out actually with doors slamming shut on their own. Specifically, the door to my room would almost always slam shut by itself, and this was with no windows open. And I remember more than once on several occasions being downstairs in the kitchen with my mother, and we would be talking or cooking or doing something together, and the door would just slam shut, and we would just look at each other, and we would kind of, you know, dart our eyes around the room and then just sort of keep going. And we would never really talk about it, and we would just kind of, you know, keep going. I mean, and that's the thing. You kind of acclimate when it's in your house, unless it's a very malevolent spirit or thing, you kind of just acclimate. I'm not saying it's fun or pleasant, but you get used to it and you kind of just, you know, you live with it. So with that in mind, you know, one of the things I got used to, which was kind of one of the worst things actually, was when I was in the living room watching television. The couch faced the TV, so my back was always to the stairwell, and I always felt like there was someone or something standing on those stairs watching me. The entire time I lived there, I felt as though I was being watched when I was alone in the living room. And I never once turned around. It was definitely a, you know what, out of sight, out of mind, just keep watching, focus on what's in front of you. One night, I'm laying in bed. I'm kind of on the threshold of sleep and consciousness, and I hear my name being whispered over and over again. And it dawned on me that I had actually closed and locked my door that night. So I didn't dare turn over to look. I just kind of pulled my blanket over my head and ignored it and shut my eyes. But the last straw in all of this was probably the handprints. It was definitely the handprints. So it was a Saturday morning and my entire family was home, but we were all in different parts of the house. And my mother had been vacuuming, and I remember I heard the vacuum shut off, and she yelled out for all of us to come upstairs. to the primary bedroom where she and my dad slept. So we all, you know, tore up the stairs and we all ran into the room and she's just pointing at the carpet. And we all look at the carpet and there is a set of, like an imprint of these little handprints. And we all get down to try to match our hands to the handprints, you know, kind of like you do in Hollywood with the stars in the cement. That's kind of what we were doing, except the handprints were way too small for all of our hands. And the four of us just looked at each other. And we had no explanation. And I remember my mother just switched the vacuum cleaner back on and all four of us just watched, you know, we just watched as she like vacuumed over the hands, the handprints over and over again. And they finally disappeared. You know, we come to find out later that there had been a creek that ran several lengths of the block that used to be behind the homes in the early 70s. And a little girl had drowned in the creek right behind our home. And we figured that's where everything was coming from. You know, the happenings, the whispering, the doors slamming. It wasn't truly malevolent, but it was definitely unsettling. And the worst part was there was nowhere to run or escape to because it was my home.
My childhood home was actually built over an Indian burial ground a la Poltergeist, the movie. No one was notified that the houses were being built over this Indian burial ground, but it came out after there was a bunch of occurrences of people seeing strange objects in their house, hands moving through walls, hearing strange voices. So the town began to investigate and they found that the builder did indeed build over an Indian burial ground. I never had any negative experience. We just had a lot of odd things happen. We had a traditional screen porch door, which means you could see out the front and we'd be eating dinner. The doorbell would ring or it would open and close on its own. Microwaves would go on and off. Light bulbs would explode. But nothing very violent. When I was 18 years old, my parents were moving out of the house, and that's when things got a little odd. I was in my house packing, and I was in my bedroom, and I unplugged my TV and had a CD player on. Obviously, I'm dating myself. But my sister came in and said, "Why do you have music on so loud if your TV's on?" And I turned around, and the TV was still not plugged in, but there was complete static on the screen. Then we went out, we had packed up all the boxes, they were in the living room, and they were kind of all stacked up on top of each other to be, you know, take up less room, and we went out to get pizza, because I'm from New Jersey, and that's what we do on Friday nights, and we came home, and all the boxes were splayed out on the floor, just one by one. So it seemed like the paranormal did not want us to leave our house. Again, never a negative experience. I just always felt very connected to the spirit world after living in that house. Nothing terrifying. I did have a neighbor, however, that had an incident where they called the cops to the house because their 8-year-old daughter saw a green arm coming through their basement door. And she was convinced there was a man down there. So convinced, in fact, that she told her babysitter. They called the cops. They looked for everything. They found a weird gel-like substance, but it was never identified. And that's sort of the history of my childhood home being built over an Indian burial ground.
Hi, I'm Josie Toda.
I'm Alicia Pascual Peña.
And I'm Yasmin Hamidi. We're three best friends, like literally sisters out of the same womb.
We're also actresses and disruptors, and the host of new Crooked Media podcast, Dare We Say. Every week, we'll dive into the issues affecting our generation, from income inequality, LGBTQ rights, and the nightmare that is Zara's landing page.
This is about to get, dare we say, heated. New episodes drop every Thursday starting August 11th.
Subscribe to Dare We Say wherever you listen to your podcasts.
My grandpa was a spiritist and he used to write letters to the dead while he got bedridden for 3 months because the spirits were draining his energy essentially. And whatever force he made a pact with told him that in exchange for his health, his kids and the kids of his kids down the line would have sensitivity to the paranormal. Well, for me, my first instance, I was probably around, 5 years old. And I don't remember it, but my mother told me that I was looking at the corner of her room and I said, "Mom, who is that?" And she didn't see anyone, so it freaked her out. And then from there, the one that I would remember would be the Hat Man that everyone sees when they are in a sleep paralysis. But instead, the Hat Man actually talked to me, and I was probably around 12 at the time. And I just remember being so scared and crying and just being terrified. And then I opened my eyes and he was gone. The conversation was somewhere along the lines where he was a demon. I can't remember the name, it's been so long. But it was a pretty freaky experience. At first, I would be scared, but now I'm just used to it because what can you do? And especially because after, when I actually told my sister about what has been happening, she told me the things about my grandpa and it all made sense. For me, when these things happened, my body would just kind of freeze. But I wasn't paralyzed. I had total control. But for example, when your stomach just drops, that's what happens to me. Mentally, it used to make me feel like I was crazy before I knew what was going on and that I'm not the only one in the family that this has been happening to. I got into a really deep depression at once because it was happening so often. I would get these visits, and I think the one that actually helped me realize that I wasn't really crazy is when I saw my grandma right after she passed away, and she told me things about my dad that I've never knew, and she told me to tell my dad, and I told him, and he just started crying because he hadn't told anyone but his mom about these things. So for now, I'm okay. And I think it's pretty cool when some people either look at me like I'm fucking insane or they believe me. So I guess you decide.
So I come from an old tiny town in Canada where the town is your classic old Western movie feel, full of cowboys and cows and all that fun stuff. Near my town, there was a big massacre site that happened many years ago. I believe that has caused a lot of spooky, dark vibes on this town. So I have always felt spirits around me. I've spoken to them, but I haven't really ever seen many. But there has been 2 times I've seen ghosts, spirit, whatever you may call it. And then 1 time where I'm not sure, but it maybe had been a demon, I don't know. So the first time I seen anything, I was maybe 14. I was your typical moody, mean, depressed teenager. Not mentally in a good place. I was casually partying or listening to anything remotely emo. One morning, my mom was waiting for me. She was late for work, and I was taking my sweet ass time getting ready. She had screamed at me to hurry up and left the house to wait in the car. Me not caring, I kept taking my time. So my room was the last room at the end of the hallway, and in a certain area the floor always creaked. I heard the creak, but I never heard the door open. So I turned around to yell. I almost finished, and in my childhood home is this big, tall man in a black trench coat and a top hat, so tall it was creepy. He had gray hair. He looked like Scrooge from that Christmas movie. And he just walked through the hallway wall that led to outside. I ran, walked out to my house, out of my house. I didn't say a thing to my mom. I think I felt more shock than panic, since I was prepared for it to be my mom. But it's all I thought about that day. And then through the years, I never seen him again, but I'd stay up late, and there would always be huge bangs on my door at 4 a.m., when no one else was awake but me. A different time, a weird white chalky substance was on the door frame. It looked like someone threw a white, you know, paintball gun thing at the wall. No one could explain where it came from, but to this day, my mom still lives there and has never experienced anything. So the second time I seen something, I was 17. I was heavy into yoga. I was taking the teacher training to become a yoga teacher. I was in an okay headspace at the time, I think. I mean, probably not, but felt like it at 16. I was hooking up with this older guy. I was doing yoga every day on top of partying way too often. Felt like the best time of my life. So my teacher asked me to watch her dogs for her overnight. As I had mentioned, my town is old as fuck and spooky, so her place was this old 1900 brick house. So I was in the living room with the dogs. They were sleeping. We were sitting on the window seat, and I was just scrolling through my phone, you know, Instagram, Facebook, that stuff. And I get that feeling someone's watching me. So I look up, and in the doorway is this old woman in an old white nightgown. I blink and have a moment of shock and panic, and in that time, I blinked, she was gone. I didn't know if I was making this shit up or not, so I text the lady about it, and she responds with, "Oh, sorry, I thought she wouldn't bother you. She's harmless." I was so freaked out, I forced my friend to come stay with me that evening. That night, I had to stay over. I just felt like I was being watched the whole time, and I couldn't sleep. Last story I have, I was again probably the same age, 16 or 17. My aunt and I were going to go stay with her son in Calgary. He had some issues, still does. He, you know, he's dealt with all through his life with drinking and drugs, that type of stuff. I was never worried about it, though. I mean, he's actually the relative I relate most to. So we stay the night. I have to sleep on the couch. The apartment is tiny. As I'm laying there trying to sleep, I again get that feeling. Something's staring at me. It's like burning a hole in the back of my head, staring. So I turn to look towards the corner of the room above the TV, and I swear my fucking soul leaves my body. There is a black thing that resembles what we know as a demon. It looked part dog, it had horns, and it had this like black mist with it, and red eyes. I could only see the head as it was popping out of the wall. I know it sounds fake, but I swear on my life this happened. I have a panic attack alone in this dark living room at 12 a.m. probably. I'm not sure of the time exactly. Too worried to wake anyone, to be annoying, you know. Hey, I just saw a demon. Sorry to wake you. What was I even thinking? Anyway, I forced myself to sleep and literally pray for someone to protect me. God, Jesus, spirit, whatever. Whoever would save me. I'm not sure when I finally fell asleep, but I did. Next morning, I mentioned it to my aunt, and yeah, this thing had been following her son around for a long time. She knew about it. His whole life he suffered very bad night terrors. They tried getting rid of it, but nothing has worked. It's like it's literally attached to him, like to his insides, his bones. I don't know, but they can't get rid of it. I don't think it led me to be any different than I am or was. For the two stories where I was around 16, 17, I was starting to get into, you know, the tarot cards, the crystals, you know, opening myself to that stuff. So maybe it opened, you know, opened something without realizing I had. Part of me just believes, though, that it is part of my family bloodline, as we have all been able to talk to spirits or see spirits. Some of us hear and some of us see. We all have many stories about ghosts.
This is my UFO encounter kind of alien story. And I was 21 years old. I was living in a carriage house in Denver, Colorado. I was studying for an exam and I noticed that the clock had turned about 2:30, 3 in the morning. And I decided that I was gonna, you know, get ready to go to bed. I got into my bed. My house was extremely small. It was about 500 square feet. And as I got into bed, I had my window open and I saw this blue light kind of come through the alleyway because I lived right off of an alleyway. And it was really an ominous feeling blue light. And I got pretty creeped out. So I got into my bed and kind of just started to get comfortable and get under the covers when I heard something that sounded like it was opening my gate from the alleyway. And no one should be coming in my gate at 3 in the morning. It was a Wednesday night. And I just felt this really weird presence coming towards me, and it just felt like something was moving in my outside kind of garden area. So I got really freaked out and I turned off my lights and I kind of laid in bed and I just was staring at my front door because I could see it because I didn't have a door on my bedroom. And I was looking out at my door and the lights were off, and I just felt like this presence had entered my house, had entered through the door. The door didn't move, but I definitely felt like this presence had come into the house. And I started to move the covers over my head, and I just felt like something was coming towards me and coming closer and coming closer. And then I just felt like something was standing right next to me. The hair on my skin was just standing up. And the minute that I tried to move and kind of take the covers off of me and see and turn on my light and see what it was, I was completely frozen and I couldn't move at all. And I woke up the next morning. And my friend at the time, I had kind of these weird visions that I kept kind of going back to of me on a table. And I had actually hurt my knee about 2 days prior to this incident. And when I woke up in the morning, my knee didn't hurt at all anymore. And so I kind of just went throughout my day after I woke up and showered and kind of still had these weird thoughts in my head and thought, what happened last night? And my friends, I was hanging out with them that evening, and we were all kind of into the paranormal and kind of aliens and all that jazz. So I said, hey guys, this is what happened. My friend Noelle at the time, her grandfather was like the leading UFO person in Colorado. And she said, do you have three parallel dots? She said, do you have three parallel dots anywhere on your body that you don't think were there before? She said, you said that you were in pain and you're not in pain anymore. And I said, yeah, it was my knee. We looked at my knee and we had a line of freckles that I've never seen before. And so it just really freaked me out because she's like, that's the one thing that you'll know if you were, beamed up or taken onto an alien's spacecraft. Like, that is one thing that you will definitely have on your body. So I was super, super freaked out. And I just kind of was like going through my week and just really thinking, like, did that really happen? Did I really get abducted by aliens? And what are these kind of things that I'm thinking about? And so I went into the mountains that weekend and we were stargazing and looking up at the stars. We were seeing shooting stars. And my friends were like, I swear to goodness, that looks like a UFO. Like, I swear to God. And I was like, honestly, I told you my story because I told them what happened as well. And I was like, don't mess with me. Please don't mess with me. And they're like, no, like it's either a plane or it's something. It's not a star. And the crazy thing is like when I looked at it, I started to get a migraine. And the closer this UFO plane came to me, the stronger my migraine got to a point where we had to leave and couldn't actually stay in the mountains anymore because I had such a bad migraine. And it really freaked me out because we all didn't know what was in the sky. And as it was coming closer to me, like I said, the migraine got stronger. And I don't know what happened all those nights ago, but every single time I tell the story and even think about how I felt with that presence entering my house. And then waking up the next morning after knowing I was frozen in my bed and was not able to move when I wanted to throw the covers off of me. I just, you know, my mom used to tell me I was dropped on the doorstep by aliens. So that really made me feel like I was much more connected.
It is February 2014, and I'm house sitting my friend's parents' house in our hometown in Northern California. And I'm awoken from my sleep. I'm sleeping upstairs in my friend's sister's room, and the bed is up against a window, so my head is looking up and out into the sky. And I'm awoken by the sound of rain, which is really exciting because it was an extended drought at that period, and we really hadn't gotten a lot of rain that winter. I feel very peaceful. And then I start to get this feeling that I'm going to be struck by lightning. And it's kind of a pressure in my chest, right in the center of my chest. And it keeps building. And I just have this overwhelming feeling that I'm going to be struck by lightning, which is crazy because I'm inside of a house. But it was kind of a dreamlike state. And what happens next is, I'm not sure whether it's a dream or not, but I am struck by lightning or some force like lightning, and I'm pulled up through the lightning bolt, and my body is turned inside out and then right side in again. And it's not painful or anything, but I'm kind of aware of this experience. And the next thing I know is I am on kind of an operating table and surrounded by a bunch of beings. It's very blurry and the light is very warm and yellow, and I'm definitely not afraid. And I'm laying there and I realize that my head is opened and they are kind of like operating on my brain. And they're weaving a kind of like needle and thread into my brain. And all I know is that I'm not scared and that they're friendly. And what they're offering me in this surgery is some sort of information that is going to help humanity and planet Earth. And the next thing I know is it's morning. I wake up suddenly and am just beaming from ear to ear, extremely happy, and can remember everything very vividly.
This story happens, I think, about 22 years ago. I was on a cruise with my family in the Caribbean. Second to last or the last night, I remember that I was hanging out with a girl and we were, you know, trying to find some privacy up on the top deck. We finally found a place at the very, very front of the boat where there was no ambient light from the cruise ship at all. You couldn't see any lights. And if you kind of went underneath the overhang, it blocked every light from the ship. And we're out in the middle of the ocean and, you know, far from any of the coasts, and you couldn't see light anywhere. It was pitch black. And it was the clearest I had ever seen the sky and the stars up until that point in my life. And suddenly we see this light, and the size that it was glowing in the sky was bigger than what an airplane would be. And it kind of just appeared out of nowhere. I can remember it so vividly, and I've told this story a number of times in the past. And it just kind of appeared out of nowhere and just whoosh, you know, through the sky. And we're looking at it. We think it's a shooting star or something, right? But then it stops dead in its tracks. And then it made a 90-degree turn. Just, it stopped and made like a left turn, right? Just as fast as it had been going. Stopped, made, I think, two or three more turns, sharp angle turns. And then just as fast as it showed up, whoosh, it flew off and disappeared. And we both looked at each other like, did we just see that, like, in real life? You know, making sure that we weren't just kind of imagining it. Obviously, just no rational explanation. You know, we're nowhere to be seen for land. It was not like a laser pointer or anything like that. You know, it was a glowing light in the sky. And it actually, the speed that it was moving, you know, when you're looking at the sky and you see, like, satellites or the ISS or whatever, like, passing through, like, it was moving faster than that. So it was moving quickly, not quite as fast as a meteor might move, but it was moving maybe close to that fast. And that was probably the only time that I saw a UFO, and 100% I believe it was not, you know, something from that someone on Earth had created, or a flashlight, you know, it wasn't something like that. The speed at which it was moving and which it stopped was just incredible. And I don't know how anything could survive a G-force like that. It was kind of boggled my mind. But that really kind of piqued my interest then in UFOs.
My paranormal experience was about 5 years ago. I was living in my first New York City apartment in the East Village. It was a nice apartment, but definitely an old building. And this was shortly after graduating college and getting my first real job. So I feel like I was maybe a little lost in life, but it was definitely an exciting time, I would say. I was not seeking out any spiritual guidance or looking for these types of experiences at all. My interaction was very brief, but I definitely didn't forget it. So I was sleeping in my room one night and I woke up and I had this strange sensation, this strange feeling. I was very calm, which is weird for me because I'm usually in like a full-on fucking panic. But weirdly, I just knew something was up. So I woke up. I could feel and I think see a presence at the end of my bed slash like the corner of my room. It seemed like whatever it was, whoever they were, was just passing through. I remember asking or like thinking, "Are you a ghost?" And they literally just said or communicated to me, "Yes." But somehow I got this like weird reassurance feeling just kind of came over me. Like I knew I was safe. I knew it was not a threatening presence. And then I just remember being very still but calm, laying down in bed. And they just kind of like passed through my bedroom and went through, I guess, like the window or wall or whatever. But that's really all that it was. That's all that I remember. It was very weird for me. I've never been like super into paranormal things. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. I don't like have a strong opinion, I would say. But yeah, it was a cool experience.
My first experience with a ghost didn't happen actually until I got to college. So my freshman year of college, I go to school in Massachusetts at a school that has been around since like 1834. So it's got a lot of history. It's seen a few wars. And I was actually in my dining hall, which is one of the original buildings that was on the campus. And so I worked in like the Starbucks that was in the dining hall. And I was working a Saturday shift, and the way it was set up was that only student workers would work on Saturdays because the rest of the dining hall was closed. So it was literally me, because I was the only person working in this entire first floor of our dining hall, and then this massive kitchen that is kind of like connected to it. And prior to actually having had my experience, I was working during the day with another coworker, an older woman who had worked here for a while, and she was like, "Oh, like I have to bring you down to the basement." So she brought me and another one of my coworkers down to the basement, and basically the basement of this building is just this like massive empty concrete tomb. Essentially, there's nothing down there. It locks from the inside out, so like no one's ever down there. So if you want to get in there, you know, you have to come through the kitchen. So that's important, I guess. So there was no one down there because I was the only one working. So the first experience I had while working this job was I was to clean out coffee filters and like the coffee machines. We would have to take it into the big area of the kitchen and just like turn the water on the faucet all the way and let the water run through for like 5 minutes. And I did this every single time I worked. So I brought the coffee maker into the area with the sink, into the big kitchen, turned on the water all the way, walked back into like the area where students are served and like did some more cleaning up, did the cash register, whatever. And when I came back, the water was completely off. And I know that I was alone. And I also know that like if someone saw it running, they wouldn't turn it off because it was like running for a purpose. So that kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies. Like I just finished my shift really quick and whatever. And I told one of my friends about it. And I also told her about how my coworker had brought me into the basement and it was so creepy. And she was like, oh my God. My friend was like, we have to go down there. Like after one of your shifts next week, call me when you're done cleaning up and we'll go down in the basement together. And so I finished my shift, you know, I finished cleaning and everything. And I'm like, okay, I call my friend. I'm like, you can come now. Like we can go down. So like I said, always was alone. No one was in the basement because it locked from the inside out. You literally can't get in unless you come through the kitchen, and I was by myself. My friend and I go down to the basement. We're just like, we like prop open the door like a bucket. we go down there and we're just walking around and like looking at it. It's creepy as fuck, of course, like, and we're walking and then we kind of like hear this really faint like music noise. It's like, I'll do it. We hear this and at first we're like, what is that? Like, that's so weird. And then we like look at each other and we realized what it was. And it wasn't anyone's music because we're in the basement of a building that's completely empty. And we look at each other and we just go, oh my God. And then just like haul ass back to the stairs. And we're like turtling, you know, when your backpack's like flapping against your ass. It was so cringe. My most recent paranormal experience has been at my ex-boyfriend's house. He was living in this house that was built, I think, in like the 1820s or something ridiculous like that. I was the only one home. He was gone. He had gone to work or something. His whole family was gone. So it was just me, which was rare. I was rarely alone in the house by myself. This was like a one-time thing. And I was making lunch or something, standing in the kitchen, and I just like am, you know, cutting a vegetable, and I just hear, hey, like super loud in my ear. And I'll touch on this afterwards, but it was very similar to when I heard the humming in my dining hall basement. And I was like, okay, like I stopped and I wasn't necessarily scared because I was like, okay, maybe it like was his family member who like pulled up outside or something. So I went outside and I was like, hello, hello, is anyone here? No one's there. No one's in the whole house. So I'm like, okay, you know, it didn't really bother me. I was like, it's fine. So then I went back to doing what I was doing. And then like 6 minutes later, hey, again, in my ear. And I was like, oh my God, that's so creepy. So at that point, I just went on with my day and he got home like an hour later and I told him what happened. But the interesting thing about this is every time I've experienced a paranormal interaction, it's been an auditory experience for me. I know that both of those things that I heard were paranormal because they were so similar in the way that they felt in my ear. Like the sound of both the humming in the basement and the guy saying hey in my ear sounded like it was in my ear and far away at the same time. And it had like a static quality to it that I've never heard like in normal life. I've always been super receptive to the paranormal because my mom like grew up, like she raised me when she was like obsessed with this stuff. Like dead ass, we went to Salem, Massachusetts like every single year since I was like 5. So I've been totally comfortable with it. Never really bothered me, honestly.
When I was 8 years old, my father had just passed away. At the time, we lived in a 2-apartment house and we had the top floor. One night, my mom and I were up late, cuddled on the couch, watching TV, when all of a sudden, a noise frightened us. We both heard footsteps and keys jingling in the stairway of our apartment. It was very clear. This noise, at first familiar, because my dad usually came home from work at night, and had a large key ring that always jingled as he came up the stairs. The noises only lasted for a moment, and we instantly turned off the TV so we could kind of hear what was going on. At first, we thought it may be a burglar. We were staring in complete darkness, and the noises had stopped, and somewhat of an orb appeared at the end of the hallway that we were staring down. It was neon green, pink, and yellow. It was swirling and spinning. It was completely soundless. My mom and I were absolutely frozen and speechless. There was no possible explanation. There wasn't any shadows or any light that was transferring from a different place. It was completely isolated. My older brother had said he saw the same exact thing when he was staying with us after my father's funeral. Honestly, I don't know if it was his ghost or spirit, but it truly can't be explained. But what I will say is that time of my life was a giant explosion of energy. To give a timeline, my parents' best friend completed a tragic suicide 2 months later. My dad dies unexpectedly. My maternal grandmother develops schizophrenia. My maternal grandfather goes to prison. My mother stopped sending me to school for 2 months because she was too depressed to leave her bedroom. My great-grandmother's house burns down, and then my mother starts to date extremely abusive men and plummets our family into poverty. This all happened within 1 year. The bright neon orb appeared within no explanation in the middle of the timeline. I still wonder about it.
Once again, my degenerate angels, my name is Allie Weiss, and this has been Tales of Taboo. If you enjoyed what you heard today, if it was mind-expanding, if it was shocking and awing, honestly, even if it wasn't, even if you hated everything, you hate the way I sound, please remember to subscribe on Spotify and iTunes. And if you're using iTunes, come on, man, take 30 seconds, literally 30 seconds out of your day to leave me a star rating and review. I don't care if you write in the review like Allie looks like she smells, or she like really needs to get her eyebrows done. I don't care what it is. Every review helps. And the more reviews we have, the more exposure we have organically on these streaming sites, the less likely it is that I'm going to have to partner with like dumb companies and try to sell you guys like CBD and teeth whitening that you don't need. Okay? It works for both parties. Questions, comments, complaints, hate notes, love letters, the usual. Send those to allieweissworld@gmail.com. You can also DM me on Instagram @allieweissworld, but my DMs are a mess because of castings. If you actually want to hear back from me, it's always best to send an email, or you can tie a squirrel to a pigeon's foot and send it to my home. I'm analog, I'm old school. That's the fastest way to my heart. I hope you all have an amazing, creative, fun, communal Halloween. Please be safe. Don't take candy from strangers unless it's wrapped and sealed. Maybe test it for fentanyl. And let me know the hijinks you get up to. I really want to hear. And send me pictures of your costumes. I love you guys so much. I'll see you again next week. And until then, be good.